Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back is 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're glad you're here. As you know, as I mentioned earlier, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And as you also probably know, if you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that that this is something that I think is very important that we stop for at least part of one day and focus on. We've been doing this now for a few years. Breast cancer entered my life about 24 years ago. The mother of my children was diagnosed with breast cancer. Her breast cancer was what was called in situ, meaning it was into itself. So it wasn't a radical kind. It wasn't an aggressive kind. But she did have the cancer. It was removed, and 24 years later, she's still with us. She's still alive and doing well. And so that was my first experience with breast cancer. Over the years, friends other friends have developed breast cancer, and they've gone through. I've been around women who've gone through all the different stages. I remember when the treatment none of the treatment is any fun, but in the old days it was a lot rougher even than now. And then when I started doing my show, ladies and gentlemen, members of my brain trust, ladies in my brain trust, started. I realized that they were developing and being diagnosed with breast cancer. The first one that I knew about was Joan Pride, because Joan's here with us. As you know, she's been with us every time we've done this, and we're going to let her tell her story. Judith Glazer is with us. She's the rookie in this group. She wasn't with us last year. Judith, as you know, is the author of DNA of Leadership. She's an award-winning, best-selling author. Paula Lovell is here. She's the president of her own small business, Lovell Communication, which is a PR and marketing firm out of Nashville, Tennessee. And Lois Geller is also the leader of her own company, Mason & Geller, direct marketing and author as well. Joan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Hello.
It's good to have you here. Judith, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here also.
Paula, hi.
Hi. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. And Lois, it's good to have you back.
We're glad you're doing this.
Folks, ladies, I just a few things here. There are 170,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. 40,460, ladies and gentlemen, stop for a moment. Just put your spoon down or your pen down or whatever you're doing. Don't pull off the road if you're listening in your car. But you got to know this number: 40,460 women will die from breast cancer this year. Joan, that number is staggering, isn't it?
It really boggles the mind, and we're doing everything we can to get that number down, but it's still a frightening number.
There's a billion money raised to fight the disease is approaching $1 billion, but you know there are 42,000 people killed in the United States in automobiles. So breast cancer is almost killing almost as many people as automobile crashes. That's the equivalent of 3 jumbo jets going down a week. Think about that. What if that happened? Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, when I first learned about this, as you know, Joan does a show with me every week on the Kiplinger Letter. And Joan, I remember the morning. I don't remember how many years ago it was. What year was it that you told me about
it? It was 2000, and I was 40 years old. I had just gotten my diagnosis about a few minutes before I was supposed to go on the air. Yeah. So as you can imagine, I couldn't go on the air, and I called you to tell you, and you were very kind and covered for me. But that was an unbelievably traumatic day, particularly since I was 40 years old. The message I'd want to give people is when I found my lump, I was 40, and I said, I'm too young to have breast cancer, and I kind of wanted to ignore it, except my husband wouldn't let me, thank goodness. But sadly enough, younger women are getting breast cancer, and you have to take these lumps seriously.
And they are dying. Younger women
are
dying from it. Right. That's exactly right. And yes, Joan, folks, we called Joan, as we have the ladies this morning, we called Joan that morning to do the show, and she was in tears, obviously, and she said, Jim, I've just gotten a call from my doctor.
That's
and
he tells me
that I have breast cancer, and I said, "Well, you go take care of yourself," and we moved on. But Joan has and I have talked about this on the show ever since. At least once a year, we've talked about this. And Joan, so that's now, what was it? Was that in the fall of 2000?
It was September of 2000.
Yeah. So we're talking 7 years. So you're my point, Joan, is you're a 7-year survivor.
That's true, and that's the good news. Yes, women are dying, but more of us are surviving, and breast cancer doesn't have to be a death sentence. When I got the diagnosis, I assumed my life was ruined, and turns out it wasn't, thank goodness.
And Joan, you had chemotherapy and radiation, right?
I did, yes.
Right.
Plenty of it.
Okay, exactly. I remember that for sure. Now, I'm going in the order of the length of their survivorship. Judith, you are a survivor since 2001.
Exactly. And I was diagnosed, I was in the doctor's office exactly the same time the World Trade Center was being attacked is when I got my diagnosis. And, and actually, it was coming through on a fax, and they couldn't read all the information. We didn't know how serious it was, and every time she got a page, because, you know, the telephones were down in New York City, every time she got a page, the doctor said, well, I think you're going to be okay. Then the next page came in and said, well, I think you're going to need radiation, and the next page came in, and I think it's a little more serious than we thought. So as the same time the trade centers were coming down, I was thinking my life was going to be over.
So as if you already didn't have enough to worry about with yourself, you know, our country was being attacked.
Exactly. It seemed like it was surreal. And the reality is that my family, we discovered later that I have BRCA 2, and my mother died of cancer, her mother. And so, you know, as this story unfolded, for a lot of women, you're going to find out, you know, a little bit more about what the prognosis is and what your family history is. And I have to say for all the listeners, everybody should be in there early, checking yourself out, not assuming that it won't happen to me. You should really, as soon as you get in early enough, I mean, mine was small, it was very virulent, so that's why I had to have AC, which is the toughest chemo. But, you know, get in there and get yourself checked all the time.
Your treatment was chemotherapy?
I had the strongest chemotherapy. I lost my hair. I then had radiation. I had two operations. I went back in and had my ovaries taken out, because my doctor studies the history of women with breast
prophylactically,
cancer.
Prophylactically.
Yes, exactly.
You got it. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come, folks. We're going to talk to these brave and courageous ladies, my good friends, Joan Pride, Judith Glaser, Paula Lovell, and Lois Geller. 20 after. We're recognizing breast cancer this month.
You're not sitting there alone. I'm happy.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're recognizing breast cancer, ladies and gentlemen. We're recognizing the impact of breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and breast cancer has had an impact on a number of the ladies in our brain trust. We're visiting with Lois Geller, Paula Lovell, Judith Glaser, and Joan Pride, all four ladies who are members of my brain trust, who and not the only ones, by the way. These are the four ladies that we've asked to join us today. There are other ladies that I know of. Judith Glaser is the one that we've only just learned about. I've only learned about her situation this year, and she and Joan had just told us in the previous segment about their experiences. Paula, now I'm trying to remember. I know you're a 4 or 5 year survivor. I can't remember how many years.
I am celebrating my 5th year just in the last week or so. So I'm a 5 year survivor, and that's a major milestone, as most people know.
Yep. And I remember when you were going through this. You know all these ladies have things to do, but like Lois and Judith, you had a business to run. You had a dozen or so employees to depend upon when this happened, didn't you?
Well, sure, I had to. A lot of people have been talking this month about working and having breast cancer or any kind of cancer, but particularly breast cancer in October. And I remember, you know, one thing that, that helps about these radio shows you do, you have these flashbacks that are, in a way very healing. And the other day I remember something about my business when I walked in to tell my staff that I had breast cancer because they're going to have to cover for me a lot. Everybody looked at me with this blank, they were all women at the time. They looked at me with this blank look, and one person burst out crying. Well, at the time, you know, it's surreal, as you say, but honestly, that was so almost helpful because I thought to myself, thank God somebody's crying other than me.
Yeah.
And it was like when you
Well, it obviously, that if you never knew how that person felt about you before, you knew at that moment.
Well, that's right, and that they were absorbing it because people around you, and I would say this to other people who have friends and loved ones who have cancer, go ahead and tell them you're sorry. Tell them it's a miserable thing to have happen to you. Acknowledge that, you know, not just stay strong, it's going to be tough, you're going to fight this, you're a hero, you're our leader. But this one person just broke down and cried, and I thought, yeah, that's right. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us about your condition and your treatment that you had. How did you find your breast cancer?
I had a mammogram, and let me say mammograms are down this year. They just did a major study, and they were 70% of women over 40 said they had mammograms in 2002. In 2006, only 65%. So
that's
they're
not
going
good.
Down. We don't know why, but that's ridiculous. People are more educated, and they must have mammograms every year after the age of 40.
So you had a mammogram, and it came back. There was something they found, and then what happened?
I had lymphectomy, lymph node removal, the full 8 weeks of, eight series of chemotherapies, and then radiation. So I had the full slam.
Right. And that was 5 years ago, so you're a five-year survivor.
Five years, feeling good.
Lois Geller, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a sweeter, gentler soul on planet Earth, I don't know it. I don't know them. Lois is, but at the same time, she is an incredible force in the marketplace. She runs her own business, Mason Geller Direct Marketing, and an author. She is not just an author of books on customer service. She's one of the world's experts on customer service and direct marketing. And Lois, it's been, 2 years now?
Yeah, almost 2 years now, yes.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I had moved. My mother was very ill down here in Florida, as you know, because Jim came to visit us one time.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was really ill. I moved my company down from Madison Avenue.
Major stressful event.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally moved from Madison Avenue, New York City, to Miami, folks. That's a huge. When you displace your business and move it, that's all the stress anybody should have to put up with.
It was a lot of Allied van line trucks.
Yeah.
And we all moved down here. My mother was really doing very poorly. I had a terrible problem with my son, and I was in the hospital with my mother. I had scheduled a mammography. I went in, and she was very sick. And they called me up, and they said that I had breast cancer. And I said, what else is going to happen to me? My world is coming to an end. And the weird thing about announcing it in the office is that my five senior employees were all men, are still all men, and they didn't have any reaction at all to me.
Nobody cried, huh?
Nobody cried. Nobody said, you're my hero. Nobody. They all just, I kept thinking.
Did you get a hug?
I think they were in shock.
Yeah.
But in my own brain, I thought maybe they're worried that I'm going to die and they're not going to have jobs after we just moved down here to Florida where there's no jobs, you know,
right.
From New York to Florida. But I know I afterwards, it's just that I think men have a harder time reacting to this, first of all, because it's sort of, you know, a breast thing that they don't talk about.
Yeah.
And then also they don't know what to say, and so they don't say anything. So it was a very lonely
You could have used
here.
A girl about that time, couldn't you?
I could have used anybody. I had no friends down here yet. You know, we had just moved a little while before, and so it was the loneliness of it was the hardest.
What was the treatment that you underwent?
I had a lumpectomy. I had the lymph nodes removed, and I had the 8 weeks of radiation.
Yeah, stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back. More to come. When we come back, I'm going to ask the ladies about the recovery situation and the support situation that they had with the people around them. And what Lois did about those guys. 29 after. Stay with us.
Celebrating 8 years as radio's small business superhero, he's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us. Thanks for being part of our day. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, ladies and gentlemen. And after a number of the ladies in our brain trust, it came to our attention either directly or at the moment or later on that they developed breast cancer and were being treated or had been treated for it. Three of the ladies who are here with us today, I knew about it almost immediately, and one of them found out later on. It's obvious that we needed to spend some time talking about this and getting some information out. And these brave ladies have agreed. Three of the four have done this with me in the past, at least, and two of them, I think, longer than that. We've been doing this, I guess, maybe. Joan, I guess you and I started doing this maybe like 4 years ago. You were just you, I think, Joan Pride.
That may be true, yeah.
I think it was just you and me maybe the first time, then we brought others in. Joan Pride is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, ladies and gentlemen. Judith Glazer is with us. She's the author of DNA of a Leadership and an award-winning best-selling author. Paula Lovell owns her own small business, one of my heroes in Nashville, Tennessee, Lovell Communications. And Lois Geller, another hero of mine, Mason & Geller, direct marketing in Miami, Florida. Another outstanding small business owner. All four ladies who are breast cancer survivors. 2, 5, 6, and 7 years, I think, is the thing. Lois brought up something a minute ago. I thought it was interesting. Paula, you were surrounded by women, and Lois had no women around her. And it's interesting to see. I thought it was very telling to see how the women reacted to Paula's news and how the men reacted to Lois's news. You know, I think, ladies, should we give the guys a little bit of a break? And, I mean, do the guys need help dealing with this? Paula, what do you think?
Sure, I think they do. They are, as I think it was Lois off the air said, you know, sometimes men are just reluctant to talk about it because the word breast is in the diagnosis, although that's gotten a lot better. And then I think men want you to have that, you know, that little testosterone comes into play. They want you to have that fight it, you know, which you have to do. You have to have a fight it attitude, but you can also take a minute and absorb your feelings around getting this disease in addition to just getting out there and starting the battle, and they think it's their role to say, okay, be tough, fight it, don't let your guard down, don't miss a day of this. Well, you're going to do that anyway. We're small business people. We go out there and fight it out every day. But sometimes you just need to say, you know what, that stinks.
My suggestion is this. First thing, gentlemen, if the woman in your life, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a wife, whatever the relationship, a friend, a colleague, if they tell you that they have breast cancer, my recommendation is don't say anything. Just give them a hug. First thing, just give them a hug. And if they don't want you to hug them, they'll tell you. But I bet they will. And just you don't have to say anything. Ladies, what do you think about that?
Perfect. I think
advice.
It's good, but I have a feeling the first thing a man thinks when he gives a woman a hug is that maybe she doesn't want to because it's breast cancer. You know, he's going
to. Yeah, but I'm trying to help him get over that, though. I'm trying to give him permission here. don't say anything because you're probably going to say something stupid like a guy would say. But ladies, one of the things you have to realize about guys, when things like this happen to us. And this does happen to this when a wife has breast cancer. Joan, as you know for sure, I know this because I went through this with you and Ray. When it happens to him too.
That's true. And the thing about guys, God bless them, they want to fix things.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating to them. They want so badly to help you, and they can't fix it. And they therefore struggle to find things they can do to help.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that was very helpful for me when my doctor said, you know, let him try to help you. He wanted to bring me home from my chemo appointments, and I really didn't need him to do that. But the doctor said, let him do it. It'll make him feel like he's
absolutely
helping. And it makes a big difference.
Well, and the other thing is, Paula, you said that the lady cried, broke down and cried in your office. See, Lois, the men in your office that were going through this with you, and I know that they did, and I've been to your office. I know how much they love you.
Yes.
They love you. They love you very much.
Yes,
they care
they
about
do.
You very much.
Yes,
it makes
do.
Us see where women cry about these things. Men get mad,
and they want to fix it.
They want to fix it, but the first emotion is it makes us mad.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, we not only want to fix it, Joan, we want to pommel whatever has caused this. You know, we want to hurt this cancer. You know, it's what the very idea. And obviously we can't do it, and so it's frustrating for men. So guys, we're trying to cut you some slack here, but the hug. Don't say anything. Just give them a hug, and then say, "What can I do to help?" 20 till right back with Lois and Paula and Judith and Joan, all breast cancer survivors. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're recognizing Breast Cancer Awareness Month on the show this hour with four breast cancer survivors, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, Judith Glazer, author of The DNA of Leadership, a business owner herself, Paula Lovell, president of her own small business, Lovell Communications, and Lois Geller, president of her small business, Mason and Geller. 7, 6, 5, and 2 year survivors respectively. Judith, how is a professional? You're all four professional women. You all run businesses, or you're in businesses that are being run. You're employees, or you run your own business. How do you handle the professional issues, clients, customers, that kind of thing? How do you deal with that in the middle of your breast cancer?
Well, I will tell you that what I did, because I grew up in a family where my mother had cancer for 12 years, and it was a hush hush. We couldn't talk about it in the house. We couldn't talk about it to friends.
Really?
Right. It was awful. And she passed away a month after I got married. It was very difficult because we couldn't reach out and hold each other, like you talked about the hugs. So I decided I had to change my DNA and my whole life at that point. And I started to send out an email to all my clients and all my friends and all the people that I was doing business with and let them know what was going on. And I got back, I still have 50 pages of emails back, people saying to me, "So thank you so much for telling me and also updating me what was going on," because people have difficulty reaching back. They don't know what to say. A hug is good for a family member, but a client doesn't know how to do that hug in words. And they said that by opening...
Did you find that people, that maybe business opportunities didn't come your way because they knew you had breast cancer?
No.
Good.
No.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Paula, what about you?
Well, I did just the opposite. I was... I only told one client. I had about 35 clients, and I decided that I needed to tell my biggest client because I worked with this person every day, and this person also was in health care. But I didn't tell any other clients, and I'll tell you why. I had a fear, and I'm still not sure that it was... I think I did the right thing for some maudlin reason, but, you know, people are funny about doing business with sick people. We're a small business, and I was afraid some of my bigger clients would say, you know, don't start a new project with them. Paula's sick.
Yeah.
And I really worried, and
I was so worried
about the competitive landscape. That, and sadly, I had heard that happen to another woman in this community where people said, "She's sick, don't do business with her."
Mm-hmm.
So I waited until my hair was a quarter of an inch long, took my wig off, celebrated, and everybody fell into shock and said, "My God, you've been sick." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm well now."
she's a tough lady, Paula Lovell, as is Lois Geller. Lois, what about you? You have a similar business to Paula's.
I have one client that I told, one of my major clients that I told, because she's also a friend, because she's been with me many years. I didn't tell the other clients because I'm on a board of an organization, and someone said something there, and I found that I had a lot of responses, but a lot of people avoided me. And I was afraid that I wouldn't get any new business, and I had to do speaking. I do half the time I do a lot of speaking and training on direct marketing, and I continued to do that all through my treatment and everything.
Right.
And that was a saving grace for me. So I wanted to look alive for everybody,
right,
so they knew I was still in business.
One of the things that that I think is important to point out is the effectiveness that they've had with doing less radical surgery. Not to say that you know, and they just, I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but all four of you ladies had did not have the radical mastectomy. Am I correct?
Right. That's right.
And so do you think that's because it just so happens that your cancer didn't require that, or do you think that more and more doctors, the research is showing that the radical surgery is not as warranted as often as it used to be? What do you think?
If we're diagnosed early enough, then we don't need radical. But if it has already moved, then the radical is no question. You have to have a mastectomy. My own mother had waited for a mammography, and by the time they caught it, it had already moved. And there was no question she had a radical mastectomy.
Right. Paula?
But I think there was also breast cancer years ago that where you had mastectomies,
right,
where you really would not have needed them had lumpectomy been perfected or the research
right.
been perfected. Because I said to my doctor, I'll take the mastectomy if that will I'll survive. And he said, the lumpectomy, as long as you have radiation, shows the same survival rate.
Somebody else.
Exactly. The science has just evolved so that they fine-tune and they're ratcheting down on this chemo and radiation treatment where, first of all, it doesn't always have to be as harsh as it was even just 5 years ago when all your hair falls out. They are really fine-tuning that and being able to target that to certain kinds of tumors, and so they can go after it in a more targeted fashion instead of the radical mastectomy.
So the $1 billion that's been raised for research has accomplished something, if not,
hallelujah,
not the cure. It's accomplished something because all of you ladies, I mean, I was around three of the four of you when this was going on, and all of you, I mean, you had some tough days and maybe some days where you stayed home, but all of you continued to work, didn't you?
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So ladies, here's the message. Get the mammogram. Get checked. Do self-examination. Get checked. Check yourself. Know your body. Find out in advance. I mean, it could be as some people, there are people, ladies, who have had lumpectomies and no radiation, no chemo, because they got it that soon. It is possible to do that. So, folks, ladies, please check yourself. You've got to do this. You got to get the mammogram. It's the key to your survival. 170,000 women will be diagnosed. 1 in 9, I think it is, we figured out, will be diagnosed with breast cancer. 40,000, more than 40,000, will die from breast cancer this year. Tintel, stay with us.
Love is strange. Lot of people.
We're back at 7:02 on Jim Blasting Game. Small Business Advocate. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and so we're interviewing, we're visiting with three brave, courageous survivors of breast cancer: Joan Pride, Judith Glazer, Paula Lovell, and Lois Geller. That's 7, 6, 5, and 2 years survivors, respectively. I'd like to let each one of these ladies give us a minute. The last thoughts on what cancer, what has happened to them, what it means to them, and if there was any bright spot in any of this. Lois, I'm going to let you go first.
I think that going through breast cancer, my life was never the same afterwards. I find that I don't get as stressed and crazed anymore. As soon as things get upsetting at my office or a client has a problem, I don't get doesn't get escalated. I remember that I don't have breast cancer anymore, or I'm in remission now, and so life is good. And I think in that way it's been a blessing. The other way it's been a blessing is that people like Joan Pryde and Paula Lovell are always there as supporters. I was a stranger to them. They spend time with me. We continue to do that with everyone that calls. And that kindred spirit has been a really good thing in my life.
Thank you, Lois, for that. Paula?
I say that breast cancer was the best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to me. The worst thing, because I was sick and I didn't take chemo well, and there I was from time to time disabled and not able to work. But it was the best thing because, you know, I think all small business owners are like 18-year-old boys. We think we're immortal. We think we're invulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me stop and do succession planning, not because I thought I was going to die. I never for a minute thought I was going to die. But it did make me realize my mortality, and it did make me realize that I couldn't be, that I needed my business to be even more about my business and not about me and me owning the business.
Right.
And so now that business stands on its own legs with that little restructuring that I've done at the office. So in that way, it was the best thing for me going forward.
Good information. Excellent. Judith?
I'm going to say from the Dalai Lama's point of view, the word illness stands for I lack love, I-L-L. And when I got breast cancer, it unlocked my lovability. In other words, my daughter said, I would hate to see anybody get breast cancer, but you have become such an amazingly loving person. I started to reach out in ways that I had never done before.
Oh,
I saw my
wow.
mother pass away without being able to reach out to others, and so it just transformed my whole approach to life and living, from friends up to clients.
Well said, Judith. Joan?
I think I started this hour when I said I thought my life was ruined when I got my diagnosis, and I think it was the opposite. I think just like all these other ladies, it's really hard for me to say, to improve on what they said, because I feel the same way they do about how it's changed my life and how it's also taught me that there are people out there, family, friends, and my husband, who really do care, and it really has enriched my life that way.
What about I want to come back to the men just for a minute. In your lives, the men who work for you, in Lois's case, husbands, brothers, fathers, whatever, what could they do? I mean, what would you say to them? How should they handle something like this, Paula?
Well, you know, I'm a single mother. I raised a son, and I found out when I was the week before I was sending him off to college. I didn't tell him, but to make a long story short, when he found out, he came home. He knew I was bald from the chemo. He came home from Missouri, bundled up, tore off his hat, and he had shaved his head. So I think all men should shave their heads.
Well, I know that Ray did that, right, Joan?
Yes, he did, yes, and kept his head shaved until I got my hair back.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Judith, what do you think?
Well, my husband, as you know, gave up everything in his life after I got breast cancer and is now the head of a company that has a new cure for cancer that doesn't use chemo and radiation. So,
wow.
Tell us about
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah, Biomega Laboratories has found a peptide in the body, a natural peptide, which, when injected in and around cancer, reinstructs the cells how to be normal again. And they are trying to get the next round of financing. It's absolutely extraordinary. Every Nobel Prize winner that's seen it says it's the answer to all cancer cure in the future.
And wow. Are they getting some of this research money that's coming in?
They need $5 million to get to the next stage so they can create it for humans. And he's out there around the world now searching for that money.
Yeah, absolutely. Joan, thank you for your courage and for your testimony today.
Thank you, Jim. It was an honor to be here with these ladies. They're very inspiring.
Judith, thank you for all that you do, and good luck to your husband, and let us know what we can do to help him as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Paula, you're one of my heroes.
It's always a great time. Thank you.
Yeah. Lois, you know I love you.
I love you too, Jim.
And thank you all for being here. Lois Geller, ladies and gentlemen, Paula Lovell, Judith Glazer, and Joan Pryde, 2, 5, 6, and 7 year survivors, respectively, and they join me as we recognize breast cancer as a reality in the lives of women and their families and their businesses as well. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ladies, please get checked. Check yourself. Get a mammogram. I know it's not fun, but it can save your life. It saved these ladies' lives. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.